Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Presented here is a free teaser for this month's edition of the Top Rope Nation Classics Patreon bonus podcast. Every single month, we release a deep dive on a classic wrestling event as voted on by our supporters on Patreon. It's a true historical deep dive. The only place to hear these shows in full? Join the Patreon page for just $5 per month. The link is right here in the podcast description. Patreon is the best way to support the show. We are confident you will enjoy the content we're offering, all the bonus content over on Patreon. So click that link in the episode description and read all about it over on Patreon. It's patreon.com/topropenation and enjoy this special free preview. What's going on, Top Rope Nation? It is the 36th edition of Top Rope Nation Classics. It's Ryan Drosty and Kyle Ross here to talk a little world-class professional wrestling. For the very first time, we've never done a world-class show before. This is only the second time that we've done a show that happened, you know, pre-WWF expansion. So really dipping back in time here to go back to November of 1983, Kyle.
Although we were getting very close to said national expansion at this point.
Yes, and yes, we were.
Vince McMahon would go on television and say, I believe 1984 will be the most tumultuous year, perhaps, in the history of professional wrestling. Nevertheless.
Yeah, I mean, 2 months from Hogan winning the WWF title here. As world class, you know, of course, under the NWA banner was a thriving promotion in 1983. Here we are at the end of 1983 with Thanksgiving Star Wars. And I got to give a shout out right away to patron of the show, Gabe Benson. Gabe was the person who nominated this show and made a lot of sense coming from Gabe because he did grow up in Texas for a while and he attended some world class shows during that era. Not this one, but he told me he went to the Thanksgiving show the next year in 1984. So shout out to Gabe, you know, longtime supporter of ours, and for giving us the option to do this. And really, you know, I love late 90s pro wrestling, but kind of breaking up the monotony of the classic shows we've done lately, Kyle. We've kind of been stuck in that late 90s period. So here we're able to switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, variety is good. And we're going to see. I think for some people, this is a blind spot promotion. But in my eyes, this was the number one wrestling promotion in 1983 in the United States. I don't think you're going to find a better territory or company. I think it's better than WWF. I think it was better than Crockett in 83. Of course, this same night as the Star Wars show that we're talking about was the first Starcade. So It was a busy night. And like the AWA was running a show that night. I mean, it's crazy how many people talk about wrestling never been popular than it is now or whatever. You know, you get these big crowds, man. They were doing local crowds of 19,000 or whatever, just in the market, not traveling crowds.
Yeah. WWF also, they were in Philadelphia. Backlund was defending the WWF title against Iron Sheik that night. Not the title change, but a title match over in Philadelphia. Shout out Michael Jenkinson. So a lot of big shows happening across the country in November.
And how much did that draw? Do you have it open?
I did not write that down, the attendance. I am not sure.
I'm look that up real quick.
Look it up quick. Yeah.
Yeah, history of WWE.
November 24.
I mean, we should look this up because, I mean, these four shows, I mean, it's pretty crazy to think about. So this was the 26th, right? We're talking here, or is it
24th? 24th.
Yeah. Yeah. So they did 7,700 in the Spectrum.
Okay.
That night. Yeah, Backlund pinning the Iron Sheik. And then this show crushed that.
Yeah, this right around 20,000, a sellout. According to Meltzer, I went back and read his Kerry Von Erich, his obituary when Kerry died at the recommendation of Mr. Kyle Ross to freshen up again on my world-class knowledge. And he talked about the show briefly in the obituary and said that it had sold out days in advance and that there were even thousands of fans who couldn't get in who were watching it like through the glass on these TVs at the venue, the Reunion Arena, to see what was going on inside. So, I mean, it tells you how hot World Class was in Dallas in 1983.
Yeah, and, you know, just a quick note about the building here. As the promotion got bigger, they would run these Star Wars specials at Reunion Arena, which was, I believe, had to be a brand new building because the Dallas Mavericks did not come into existence until the early 80s. And I'm assuming Reunion Arena was built for them. Because the Mavs expansion year was like 80 or 81. So they were a very new team at this point.
I believe that is correct. I just looked it up. So they broke ground in 78. It opened in 1980. And the Mavs' first season was 1980.
Okay, there you go. Correct. So a state-of-the-art building that they're running here in the big time. And you know, people who have only seen the WWE DVD on World Class should make it a point to watch the Heroes of World Class DVD, which is independently produced by Kevin Von Erich and others, because there's like some really great stuff at the beginning with Bill Mercer, who's the announcer. Oh fuck, what's his name? Mickey Grant, who was the producer. And they talk a lot about the production of the show and how World Class's TV production was really head and shoulders above the rest of the industry at this time. And that's something obviously WWE is not going to talk about on their own DVD, that somebody was ahead of them production-wise at this point. But, I mean, to make that Sportatorium building look good, that they ran TV in every week, because by all accounts, everyone who went there said it was an absolute dump. Kudos to them.
Yeah. No, for sure. And yeah, I got that DVD right here. I know you have it as well. But yeah, this came out around 2006 if you're watching the video stream, and they've put out like an anniversary edition or a director's cut, I think, since then. This one I got, a buddy of mine who was reviewing movies at the time, yeah, he got a review copy and he just gave it to me. So I saw it like right around the time it came out and just blown away. You know, in 2006, we didn't have that many. I mean, WWE was starting to put out their DVDs, but there was always, you know, some spin on that. They had quite a few coming out, I guess, but there wasn't that many like independently produced wrestling documentaries. So yeah, when I saw this, I was blown away, got rave reviews. So then of course WWE jumped on the train and a year later put out their own World Class story DVD. But yeah, theirs was not as good as Heroes of World Class. If you've never seen it, highly, highly recommend it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the only advantage the WWE version has, they had Michael Hayes, obviously. You know, his presence was certainly missed on the Heroes of World Class one. But I thought Gary Hart was better on the Heroes of World Class one than he was on the WWE version. Yeah. He had a lot of great booking philosophies that he talked about. Yeah. He also did not have his false teeth in on the independently produced DVD, which was kind of tough to watch.
Kyle, when was the first time that you heard of World Class?
I couldn't tell you the year. It's definitely the second promotion that I discovered. You know, I started watching WWF in late 86. We've been through this before on the program.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching it for the first time. So the house my parents live in now, we moved into that in 87. And I remember watching World Class on ESPN at 4 p.m. I've been through this before. My parents like fucking hated wrestling, still do. So it was kind of, it was tough. It was a battle to watch as much of it as I could. But, you know, my dad wasn't home from work at 4 p.m. My mom was doing whatever. She was letting us watch TV. So I don't know. It was probably like 87, 88. Okay. I would have started. And, you know, they were showing stuff that was years old, but I had no idea that it was years old at the time. To me, it was just wrestling was on ESPN. And I'm like, awesome, man. I'll watch this. And I really liked it. I'm a big fan of World Class Championship Wrestling. I really am. I think, you know, between the Von Erichs and Hulk Hogan, I think the listeners can really understand why I think it's, to this day, it's very important to build around a very strong baby face or baby faces your territory, and why I'm probably never going to come off that, because that's the way I grew up, man.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, a lot of people had a similar story to you. We put the post up in our Facebook group today, and a couple of people had posted that that's kind of how they came across it too, in syndication a few years later, like you did. I mean, you were 3 years old when this show took place, right?
Yeah. So I was not watching. Yeah. I was not watching wrestling at the time, obviously.
And I was not born yet. I was in utero.
Wow.
I was
hey,
in the womb.
Hey, wait, I got a new complaint.
I was in the womb. I was less than 2 months away from being born, but not quite born yet as the show occurred. So, yeah, it's funny because my kids saw me watching this and they're like, God, that looks so old, Dad. And I was like, yeah, you know, this is right around the time I was born. It was a long time ago. So
it looks so old.
It does look so old when you watch it now. I mean, I remember like the first time I started seeing footage of World Class, it didn't look as old to me as it does right now, you know, and I got to think, I can't pinpoint. I didn't see it in syndication. I mean, I would have seen Kerry first, you know, watching WWF in the early 90s. I had no idea about his history in Texas. I just knew him as the Texas Tornado. And I really liked him as a kid in that brief WWF run. But it probably was in the wrestling magazines like mid to late 90s that I first started reading about it. And then I know for sure one of those PWI almanacs that would come out every year. Sure. 1 year there was like an article about it or something. And I really deep dived on it and started reading about like the Texas Stadium show. And I started having more of a knowledge. But again, like during that era, the only way to get that footage was tape trading. And I didn't get into that until late high school. So, you know, like late 90s, early 2000s, sometime around there, I started getting some stuff on tape trading. So that would have been like the first time I saw any of it. So it was definitely much later. And this was, honest to God, I mean, the network was the best access I ever had to it. Because once they started throwing up some of those world-class television episodes week to week, that was, outside of a few spot things I got tape trading, that was like the first time. And of course, like they had some matches on the world-class DVD as bonus features too. I saw some of that. But I never had an archive that was that big to access that until the WWE Network many years later, 2014. And so, I mean, yeah, I was definitely very late to the party.
So when Mazzy was born, it's my daughter for those keeping scores at home. And I was just, you know, and she'd be here during the day and Cammy was off maternity leave. I was just chilling in the afternoon, you know, playing daddy daycare. And I watched the entire year of 83 World Class Television. I also watched the entire year of Mid-South 83 because I was like, let's see which one was better. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, World Class was better. Now, Mid-South got better in 84 than World Class. Obviously, we'll get to it over the course of the next hour and a half, 2 hours. But, you know, World Class takes a horrific nosedive for the obvious reason in 1984. Mm-hmm. But ironically, as it hits its peak, but yeah, I mean, it was great to, you know, I mean, that, you know, say what you will about the WWE and the cock and all that nonsense, but it is great to have access to all this that you can just, you know, go back and watch every week of television from 1983, 1984. And I mean, God, they have like all of it up there now.
Yeah.
So, so before I forget, something I wanted to look at, cause we were talking about all those Thanksgiving shows. Mm-hmm. This looks like it won the night in live attendance. So Starrcade did 15,447, which was a sellout. Now it had an additional 30,000 on closed circuit. This is per Meltzer's annual Thanksgiving history article, which I know you've seen read before several times over, Ryan. It's an excellent piece for people who have it. I'm sure he's going to repost it next week. But the AWA did last two. I had that number and now I missed it. Let me take a look here. I literally just had it. AWA did 13,163. So, yeah, so world class. I mean, to my point about it arguably being the hottest promotion in the country in 1983, the numbers bear it out. And this was probably its peak. I mean, I know people think about the Texas Stadium show that you referenced where Kerry finally cashes in, wins the NWA title, but really that was the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
Because David had died and he loses it back right away. And then it's kind of like, okay, he won it and lost it. Now what? Mm-hmm. And they kind of struggled for new ideas. And then obviously it was tragedy after tragedy.
Yeah. No, that's just mind blowing when you go through those attendance numbers though, you know, like this is before Vince McMahon invented professional wrestling, Kyle. I mean, he was promoting, but before their national expansion really kicked in, and you're talking 20,000 in Dallas, Greensboro, 15,000, close to 10,000 up in Philadelphia, 13,000 for AWA all in the same night. I mean, wild. I mean, it tells you wrestling was really popular even before it was a cable phenomenon. Yeah.
Yeah. And Mid South, remember they ran, I'm assuming, the Superdome that night. They used to run Thanksgiving shows. I could be wrong though. I don't have that number in front of me.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.